Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. In studio, joining us at the moment, we have State Representative Dave DeCoste, but Dave wears not one, but two hats, besides being the representative for the 5th Plymouth District. He is also a Nobel Selectman, at least for...
Through May 16th.
The next month and a half.
There you are.
And so the proposal that is on the table right now, the discussion that has been put forth, is that there could possibly be a discussion about having a toll road, a private toll road, that would start in the Norwell area, heading north, up and beyond the Braintree Splitter, somewhere in that area.
It would be the proposal is kind of fluid. You know, they will have one that is possibly in running both ways. It may have a reversible lane. It is a very ambitious project, and I can tell you it is not very well received thus far, at least from the people I've spoken to.
What are you hearing? What are you hearing from constituents? Whether either constituents in Norwell or that are,
I would say, broadly over the South Shore, but certainly in Rockland, Hanover, Norwell, because Route 3 goes across mm-hmm. right through. And I've never seen figures, but my gut feeling is that, you know, well over 50% at one time or another during the work week, you know, of families are going up and down Route 3, either to get to Route 128 or to get into Boston. So it is obviously very, very heavily used by the folks in our district. And, you know, I've had things, I told you I can't repeat everything I was sent in my email, but basically it is that people are very, very skeptical.
Sure.
And who wouldn't be? I mean, given the track record of the state government operating major highway projects, and also given this is conceivably the type of thing, the conception is that it would be a private company that operates, builds and operates this thing, 4 years, up to $800 million. That's what they're talking about. It's very ambitious, but you know, one supporter succinctly put it, you know, are they insane? So that basically wraps up where I think most people look at this now.
Joe, what's your do? You have any thoughts on this? Do you have any questions on this?
Well, you know, I have some thoughts about it. Certainly, I you know, Route 3. The problem with Route 3 is, during the summertime, is really where the issue is, and that's, you know, the Cape traffic going down to the Cape. Mm-hmm. Usually it's a problem Friday afternoons. It's a problem Sunday afternoons, at least from my experience. So I used to commute into Boston all the time. And from my perspective, I don't know if a toll road going in the proposed toll road would really alleviate the problems that the real problems that exist. I mean, there are real infrastructure problems that exist. For example, you know, one way, obviously, which would be a much greater expense, one way to fix the problem is running a second lane all the way down to the Cape. That's how you really fix the problem.
Will that go along with the tunnel that they would propose of building?
Well, go into the tunnel. Yeah.
The tunnel instead of the Sagamore Bridge, or that would be your way to get on Cape is through a tunnel?
Yeah, exactly. Keep in mind all that this, the two things I should point out. Number one, that this would only buy us a lane from the Braintree split down to exit 14. Yep. And now I should point out that people, I think, on the South Shore would be happy to have another lane, and everyone I've talked to thinks that is a good idea. And given the taxation that we pay, you know, both directly and indirectly, that you should be able to afford something over some period of time. And of course, it's another program for the MBTA and the transportation waste and so forth. But another lane would be welcome. A toll lane,
yeah,
would be very. People are very skeptical.
See, I would think the folks who are in the western part of the state, who've had to take the Mass Pike for years to be able to get into Boston, are probably saying, "Hey, this has been our way to be able to get in, and we've had to pay. Why shouldn't another part of our state have to pay a toll in order to be able to, you know, get quicker from point A to point B like we are doing.
You know, to Dave's point, you know, the toll lane from where it's being proposed, you know, if you had just put a lane, if for anyone that travels on Route 3 and gets stuck in the traffic, especially going north on either a Sunday afternoon or just in general in the morning, I would say that most mornings in my experience riding on the highway, the traffic does start to get stopped at exit 14, in both directions. Mm. So to add another lane just to exit 14, almost pushing the Hingham merge a little bit further down, might actually make some real sense. But the toll lane doesn't make sense because, at least from my perspective, it's not going to alleviate the real traffic needs that the South Shore is dealing with. I mean, you know, not everyone's going to want to take a toll road. And I've heard some zipper lane-like proposals that I'm not sure how they would function.
Well, I believe there's two proposals.
Sure.
Am I wrong, Representative?
No, you're right.
There's two particular, because I had a chance to speak with Frank DePaula, who is... What is he? What's his particular? He's got a number of different jobs for the Mass DOT, correct?
You want to read this? I will tell you, they were very forthcoming in terms of
two lane reversible. Mm-hmm. That's option one, and single express toll lane in each direction. So you have either or.
Hmm.
That's what we're dealing with here.
Hmm. Well, I've never.
Is it needed? Is it needed?
Well, the other lane is certainly needed.
Yes.
And could be used. I mean, you mentioned the weekends, but anybody who drives in, when I was a Northeastern student driving back and forth into Boston, if you were on Route 3 a little before 7, you were fine right into Boston. I'm 51, so that was 1981. Now I'm not, maybe if you're on there by about 5:30 in the morning, you're okay, assuming there's no accidents. But if you get on 6, I don't think, I have a standard shift, you're not going to get out of second gear on the way in.
Do we want to take a quick call? I mean, a quick call from a listener.
Sure.
All right. Ryan, do we have a name of the listener? We don't. All right, let's put him through and see what happens. Just be ready on the button. Welcome to Monday Night Talk. What's your name?
My name's Paul Bickner-White. I'm a 62-year resident of Weymouth. Recently moved to Halifax.
Okay. What's your comment?
Well, I recently wrote an article to the Ledger and Senator Hedlund that was never published. I'll read it just as a quick paragraph. If I may, after watching recent comments on operating a private toll road, I thought I might share some possible info when this highway was originally built from the Cape to Boston. Mm. Although in my teens at that time, I always remember an effort, and parentheses, I believe it was from Japan, to build a tram-type rail system down the middle of the highway from the canal to Boston. As usually, we remain behind the times. Just thought I'd share this 50 years ago information. Hmm. Thank you for your time, and I have no further comment.
All right. Well, fine. Thank you so much, Paul.
All right.
That's interesting. I mean, considering that the entire reason that we can drive in the breakdown lane on Route 3 is because there is a plan that exists out there that would actually show the expansion of Route 3 into three lanes. That's actually the stipulation that was put together to allow the breakdown lane use. So there's a plan that exists showing three lanes on Route 3. So
joining us right now is a gentleman who is well-renowned for his pizza made of goat cheese,
basil, did I get a plug on that earlier?
And cranberry, which was actually pretty good.
It was pretty good.
I was skeptical, but I had two, so I must be sold. State Representative Josh Cutler, who's you're in Duxbury, so I mean that's part of that is your district is.
Yes, apologies for running late. You know, if someone would just do something about that traffic on Route 3. No, I loved being the contrarian, but I have to agree with all of you gentlemen that I think this is just a bad idea.
Okay.
Well that was easy.
So I'm done. I'll see you later.
Have you heard anyone in your district speak positively about it?
I haven't. No, you know, and I don't want to, I mean, I applaud the folks for thinking creatively. Mm. I think state government needs to think creatively, and so I don't want to discourage that, thinking outside the box, public-private partnership. I think that's good stuff. I just happen to think in this particular instance, this idea, the benefits are far outweighed by the the drawbacks.
All right. Well, let's see if I can add another person to the mix to see if they may have a different point of view.
All right.
Joining us on the phone line is State Senator Bob Hedlund, who was referenced in that call earlier. Senator, how are you?
Good. And I actually didn't hear the discussion that I'm coming into, but happy to be on board.
Yeah. Give us your thoughts on the proposal. I know that there's two options that they're exploring. Kind of give us the nuts and bolts as to how you understand what they would do starting from exit 14 north on Route 3.
Well, they don't necessarily have a specific plan. It's a concept that's been put forward by a private entity, and it basically would kind of follow the template that's been used in a number of other states where you have a private company come in, they secure the financing, float a bond, create the additional lanes, and one of the lanes would be a kind of a vanity tolling, potentially, you know, that's one of the scenarios, be a vanity tolling situation where someone would pay that premium to use that lane. You could also have that lane available to high occupancy vehicles at no charge. There's a lot of different ways to structure it. It's being done in a number of other states. Probably the one I'm most familiar with would be Virginia. Now, granted, there's a lot of additional space in the areas that it's been used, and we obviously have to contend with the Braintree split. But I guess the attraction is the fact that you'll get some additional capacity on Route 3. You get an additional lane built at a time when you're probably not going to fund it anytime soon under our current funding scenario that we have here in the Commonwealth. So That's the attraction. Unfortunately, there seems to be a lot of misconceptions about it. I put something up on Facebook simply informing my constituents, those that actually like me on Facebook, about the meeting that was held a couple weeks ago, and I almost had my head handed to me on a silver platter. I think there were 140 comments, and about 138 of them were negative. A lot of them clearly were comments that showed they didn't understand specifics. You know, I think some people had the impression when you see the words toll and Route 3, I think they had the idea that there would be toll plazas put up on Route 3, and obviously that's not the case. So the proponents and MassDOT, if they're serious about this, they've got to do some serious public education and awareness on this.
One of the things that, Senator, this is your colleague, Rep. Cutler. You know, it's great to save a little bit of time from Norwell to Braintree, but the Braintree split is probably the worst part of that, and I don't see how this is going to make it better. I think, frankly, it would make it worse to have another lane merging back into.
You'd have a bottleneck, basically.
Right. That's what we have when you get out of the HOV lane. Mm. You know, I drove back from the State House today with a colleague, and getting out of the HOV lane was the slowest part of it.
Right. Clearly, the bane of our existence is the Braintree split. It's probably the worst bottleneck in the state. But, you know, who's to say that might be something that we can't address as part of this in terms of long range? I don't know. But
flyover.
There's been a lot of knee-jerk reaction negative towards this proposal without even kind of hearing it out by a lot of people, I think. But, you know, I'm not in favor of it. I'm not against it. But I think it's worth a listen. And if you can somehow tie it in with some kind of improvements to the Braintree split, then it could potentially be a winner.
Let's expand the parking lot at Braintree T. That's the number one thing I think we should be doing.
You're talking MBTA, that clearly shouldn't be a case of one or the other. I mean, that's something that needs to be done regardless.
Correct.
Yeah. Rep. DeCoste, did you want to chime in?
Senator, you would not be surprised that a lot of folks on our side of the aisle feel that they're already paying enough taxes, and this would be another tax under a different name. And that given what we're paying, that at some point the state should be able to come up with a lane or two to alleviate the situation without any additional increases over and above what they're paying. And I know you've already heard that type of argument before.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm not advocating for this, but again, it's potentially a way to get capacity at no cost to the taxpayers at a time when, you know, we're competing for projects all around the state for capital improvements to our transportation system. If you look at the Transportation Finance Commission report that was done under Governor Romney back 2009-2010, you know, the numbers that in the tens of billions of dollars, it's a staggering amount that we project that we need for highway projects. So it's a very competitive process. And whether it's here, whether it's Route 3, whether it's somewhere else, that you can develop some kind of public-private partnership that takes a little of the burden off. But again, I'm not advocating for it. I think the process should play out. And I was kind of surprised at the reaction. I mean, it's being done elsewhere, but I guess there's a certain mentality in Massachusetts, I guess, that's an immediate negative reaction. And I guess after the way the Turnpike Authority was mismanaged for many years, maybe that's the reason that we have that reaction.
Well, some of the information that I saw was the $800 million, that this would be something that after 30 to 50 years that the tolls would pay off whatever the bond was. But the curious question would be, and I think it's a question that you have openly asked on these very airwaves, I mean, how long ago was the Mass Turnpike paid for?
A long time ago. And then, of course, the big dig financing scheme, as I'll refer to it, that was done in 1997, of which I did not vote for. I advocated actually using gas tax revenues and a potential gas tax increase to fund the big dig that we were locked into by a couple of administrations as a way to do that, rather than a funding scheme that didn't work. And that's, you know, been proven it didn't work, obviously. But that was a way for then-Governor Weld to get out from under a no-new tax pledge that he had taken. So it was a bit of a shell game at that time.
You know, if we were to do this, and obviously that's a big if, I don't think there's a lot of support for it now, but I think to think that the tolls would eventually go away is just a fallacy. Yeah. We should assume that they are there permanently.
Well, I mean,
we heard that.
Josh, that's for guys like you to decide. You know, I mean,
aren't you one of us as well?
In 97, the legislature voted to extend the life of the Turnpike Authority. So, you know, we do have that control in the legislative branch.
Right, and the Turnpike still has maintenance costs, as this Route 3 would and as the toll lane would. So I think that it's going to go away after some point is just, unrealistic.
Right, well, the key to the discussion is not whether or not they go away, but which is important, but, you know, you're not putting tolls in place on existing lanes. I mean, I think that's part of the confusion here that people have.
Correct, that's true.
Well, the interesting thing there, Senator, is that you know, they're talking about rebuilding or repairing at least every single bridge on the way down between Norwell and up to the Brintree's. But can you, just from that alone, can you imagine the backups that are going to be, you know, sustained by the people going back and forth?
Well, we need to repair those bridges. I mean, that's.
But would there be any additional?
It would be widened in addition to being repaired. They would be widened.
As I understood it,
new lanes.
As I understood it, those bridges would end up losing the center column that now, you know, keeps them up. So it sounded very, very ambitious what they were going to do.
If I could just kind of add something in real quick, would there be any further?
We can put a man on the moon, Dave. I think we can build a bridge.
Okay. There's no doubt they could build a bridge, but the traffic might be backed up to Peabody trying to get out there.
I do want to ask, though, is would there be any further land takings, or would there be enough land to be able to accomplish this?
You know, they did not say anything.
My understanding is that the right-of-way exists for much of the route now. There would be some land taking up around Braintree, but I believe that... And I don't remember the amount. The last briefing I had directly from anyone involved in this was like 2 years ago. But it's up around Braintree where there would have to be some land takings, and you get some environmental issues that have to be looked at. Obviously, wetland impacts, things like that. But you know, I'll just add one more thing if I could, Kevin. And yep. I don't want to monopolize this, but it's interesting. I got invited down to the White House a few years back. They were kind enough to invite ranking minority members of transportation committees from the Northeast along with chairman of transportation committees. And we actually had a briefing on this. One of Josh's heroes, Governor Ed Rendell, spoke. Former Governor Ed Rendell, now MSNBC commentator. Some things that they were doing on this in Pennsylvania. They briefed us what was going on in Virginia, Indiana, a number of other places, and I guess it's just, and I don't know why they did it, but just to kind of, as an information sharing situation, to convey what was happening around the country in these kinds of public-private partnerships. And also they talked about the technology that was advancing at the time, you know, with transponders and open road tolling. And that's, Dave, that's your bailiwick that you're going to have to be very concerned about, because pretty soon you're going to have these devices built into every car that's manufactured or in every license plate that's manufactured. And you'll have policymakers being able to toll any particular road they want pretty much with the flip of a switch in the future. So,
I thought we heard that during the Patrick administration, that was a concept that was being looked at that time, no?
Well, they're doing it now with the Tobin Bridge. I mean, that's the first time that they've undertaken this, and you know, eventually we're going to phase out all toll plazas because this technology will be so prevalent. But the good side is, you know, we save on a lot of labor, and we're phasing out those highly paid Massachusetts toll collectors who make more than the average teacher here in the Commonwealth. But the downside is you'll have very simple means to toll in the future any road that you want. If you put, you know, if you put the receivers up on any particular road, you'll be able to toll that road.
Well, Senator, we want to thank you for joining us, and we should do something where you're in studio with these other gentlemen, and maybe we take some phone calls. We just had somebody want to call in and ask you a question that was off topic. I apologize.
Maybe on this issue, it's a good thing I'm not there tonight after the feedback we got on Facebook.
Well, we want to thank you for joining in on the conversation this evening, Senator.
I look forward to getting in there with those guys soon.
Okay.
Hi.
There he is, State Senator Bob Hedlund. As well, we got Josh Cutler, Rep. Cutler, and Rep. Dave DeCoste. And I think any moment we're going to hear from Jim Cantwell, who's going to join in on the fun for a couple of moments while we have the time. We've dedicated a few minutes. Is there anything we haven't mentioned about this but is worth taking a couple of minutes and discussing in regards to this proposal?
Yeah, I think you guys have done a great job of kind of outlining. I think the bigger picture we want to make sure our listeners out there understand that, you know, we're obviously concerned about is, you know, we're commuters as well. Mm-hmm. We need to do something about the traffic on Route 3 and just getting into Boston. It's a quality of life issue, and, you know, this may not be the right answer, but doesn't mean we should be giving it up. And I think we all need to be kind of committed towards trying to find a solution, whether it's, you know, fixing public transportation, you know, maybe widening Route 3 a little bit further down south, doing something about that phantom toll area you have in Hingham that's built and just staying there. I don't know what's going on with that. But we need to clearly do something. I think, you know, it's important for listeners to understand that we're very much committed to that. And, you know, we want to find the right solution.
Well, I think anybody who's a fan of the trilogy of Back to the Future, the end of the first movie might be the only solution the way things are these days. And that is just maybe not so much roadways, but finding a way to...
I want one of those hovercraft things.
Do you really?
Yeah, you know, those skateboard things. What do you call them?
Yeah, there is one question.
Hoverboard.
There is one question that came up during the presentation that I was kind of puzzled, and they need to work on a little bit, and that is what happens if, in the case of Modern Continental, they go bankrupt? What if the private entity goes bankrupt?
Yeah, it's the entity that was the heart of the big dig.
Exactly. Now, what happens if something similar happens to these folks, and they didn't have a lot of, they didn't put a lot of
they'd
thought
into they'd have to be bonded, and I mean, we'd have to, obviously. Yeah.
But that's the risk you're taking if you're having a private entity take over a project such as this.
Well, keep in mind, with Modern Continental, they were bonding, but the state still ended up picking up an enormous amount of the tab.
Yikes.
And my question was, how do you avoid that?
We saw it happen with the railroad ties on the MBTA as well. The company ended up going bankrupt, and we went back to try to get the concrete ties.
Concrete ties.
Right. That was a state project. So
yeah,
you know, that wasn't
right. And that's something I believe that Senator Hedlund did a show on. On that very issue.
And, you know, that's an issue of procurement, and that's something that we as legislators need to to exercise our authority over and make sure that there is oversight there and prevent those kind of things from happening again, because that's, you know, it's outrageous. So.
And I'm just taking a look at my...
We're waiting for Representative Cantwell.
I think we might be waiting for Representative Joe
will appreciate this. We had a great meeting at the State House today, the Coastal Caucus.
Oh,
was
very
meeting,
nice.
With our colleagues. I had to talk about, of course, flood insurance, among other things, coastal erosion. We had a very good, we had a broad representation. All the South Shore delegation was there. We had folks from the Cape and actually from the North Shore as well.
Oh, great.
So good dialogue today.
Great. Well, we start our conference calls for flood reform at the end of April, so we'd love to get some of that Coastal Caucus on those conference calls.
Well, Representative Cantwell was leading the way, so I'm sure he will continue to do so.
Yes.
I somehow doubt that we're going to be able to squeeze Jim in the next minute and a half. But
who is our exciting guest after this?
We have
who's going to top us?
State Treasurer Deb Goldberg.
Oh, well, all right.
That's right. We get a couple of different subjects. She's actually waiting on the line right now.
Would
you like to say something?
Of course.
I'm sure she's listening.
Of course. Well, we'd like to welcome Treasurer Goldberg to WATD. I'm sure she's been on the show before.
Oh, actually, after being elected, this was the first show that she was on.
Well, she knows her priorities. That's great. Excellent.
I don't go that far, but she's kind enough to share the airwaves.
Well, we will be kind enough to let her have the airwaves, and we'll make our way, but I want to thank you all for inviting
us back on. If I could ask you in closing, what if anybody has any comments or questions that they want to share with you that's within reason and isn't angry, but they want to have some kind of constructive criticism?
Well, Dave's cell phone number. No, <Yeah. just>
in my case, you can go right on to citizensforthecoast.org, and if they send me a message, it goes directly to my email, and I get it, and we try to respond within a day, and hopefully a lot quicker than just a day.
I'm happy to hear from folks on Facebook or my website or email josh@joshcutler.com.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being here, Josh. Again, great job this past weekend with what you brought, using local
products. Thank you. Using local cranberries.
That's right.
I like that.
Helping raise $10,000 for the Hanson Public Schools.
Okay. Very good.
We are going to step aside when we come back after the break. State Treasurer Deb Goldberg. Don't go anywhere.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com.